I want to discuss today the topic of a menuda. There's a very interesting, there's a stira in Shulchan Aruch. How many times in Shulchan Aruch are there open contradictions? There are not that many. This is a very good trivial question. If you ever find yourself on Jeopardy and they ask you the question, present to me an open contradiction in the words of the Shulchan Aruch, which really is a very big question, a blatant contradiction in Shulchan Aruch. And there is a blatant contradiction between what it says in Aruch Chaim, the same author, Aruch Chaim, and Yerideya. In Aruch Chaim, Hilchas Tefillin, Simei Lamed Ches, Sif Yud Gimel, it's interesting why it's even quoted, because Shulchan Aruch does not quote things, Hilchas Tefillin L'Mashiach, things that Nogea Halacha L'Mais when it comes to Mashiach, but he writes, Menuda U'mitzoyra Asurim L'Honiach Tefillin. A menuda means a person that has been excommunicated. Okay, we don't really have today a menuda. People, you know, people don't give a get. So they try very hard to put them in nidui. It doesn't always work. But but it says in Shulchan Aruch. It says in Shulchan Aruch we have a menuda, a person who has been excommunicated, and a mitzora, a person who has saras. Now, having tzaras, l'chora, does not apply to Zman Hazeh. To have tzaras, you have to have a koyein. And it is assumed that the disease of tzaras is a spiritual disease. So, question, what exactly is tzaras? Tzaras, leprosy, it is something which we know what it is. It can be defined. Can it be defined today medically by the CDC? Can they define exactly what is tzaras? Maybe yeah, maybe not. The simple understanding is that the tzaras is a type of spiritual disease which is only possible as man shebeis hanishkaya. Menuda, in order for a person to be a menuda, he needs to do an avera. What kind of an avera? So anything that he does not listen to the words of Chazal, there are two major categories of menuda. One menuda we find if a person marries a non-Jew. If a man marries a non-Jew, a woman who's not Jewish, he's menuda. He's supposed to be put in excommunication. No one's have anything to do with him. He's not supposed to be permitted to come to shul, v'chulu, v'chulu. Today, we don't see this happening. Or a person, another menuda is a person, he swears by Hashem's name in vain. He has a loose tongue. He goes around just being swearing or behaving in such a fashion. That's also an example of a menuda. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, in Aruch Chaim, these individuals who have been put in what we call cherem, because they married a non-Jew, they're ganovim, they swear in Hashem's name, or if a person is smitten with tzaras, and he is sent chutz legimel machanois, they are not allowed to wear tefillin. Isn't that amazing? They're not allowed to put on tefillin. You would think that the only time you don't wear tefillin is Shabbos, Yom Tov. Some people do not wear tefillin Chol HaMoed. Many people don't wear Chol HaMoed, fine, with a bracha, without a bracha. But there's another category, another two categories that most people do not know that are not allowed to wear tefillin. That is a menudeh. One has been put in cherim. He's basically been cursed by the Bezin, and no one is allowed to have any dealings with him. And in Mitzora, they may not wear tefillin. What's the problem? The problem is that it says Beferish and Shulch and Yerideya. It says in Yerideya explicitly that you are allowed to wear tefillin. It says in Yerideya, let me read the words of Yerideya. Where I lose the place, maybe I can't, let me see if I can find it. Aruch Chaim, Simen Samachas, Yigim Menu Mitzor, Asla and Tefillin. Can this come from the Baal HaItur, one of the Rishonim? Problem is, how come I can't find it? One moment. Okay, Shulchan Yerideya, Simen Shin Lamed Aleph. Shloimona din tefillin bechlal devarim shamenude asa bohem. Okay, it doesn't say it explicitly. Okay, it doesn't say it explicitly, but it lists over there in Yoredeya the sugya of a menude, a person who's been put in nidui, and it tells you all of the halachas of a menude, and it does not mention there the prohibition for him to wear tefillin, which seems bizarre, because it says beferish in it says in Arachan that he's not allowed to wear tefillin, even where it's not the ikar sugya. So how come here there it's not mentioned, which lead many to believe that a menude is allowed to wear tefillin? Some go so far to say that in our every edition of the Shulchan Aruch that we have, there's a printer's error. And Aruch Chaim, where it says, Menudeh u'mitzoyra mutorim lehoniach tefillin. That's how far the difficulty goes. The contradiction seems to go so deep that someone has said that a menudeh is allowed to wear tefillin. Now the question is, what does tefillin have to do with being a menude or a person who has tsaras? Just because he has tsaras, why should that be a prohibition for him to wear tefillin? What does one thing have to do with another? By the way, before you go further, there's an interesting shaila. If a menude is a sofer, or a mitzoyer is a mitzoyer, is he allowed to write tefillin? There's an age-old question. If you order Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, I know there are mayor, he wears Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. Mayor, is that correct? You Rabbeinu Tam tefillin? The question to you is, do the person who wrote your Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, does he himself wear Rabbeinu Tam tefillin? Someone has said that if the mitzoyer himself does not wear Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, he is not permitted to write the tefillin for someone else, Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. Because you have to be mechuyev bedavar in order to write the tefillin for someone else. The batim are exactly the same. There's no difference in the batim. No, that's where you stitch. That's how you stitch the batim. That's the stitching of the batim. But the batim are identical. The stitching of where the hair comes out. There's no difference in how they make the tefillin, the batim. It's just where they put the hair, which hole they put the hair sticks out. But it's the same exact batim. But the writing of the parashiyos, you write them in a different order. You write them on the cloth in a different order. The question is, can the person who himself does not wear a Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, can he write a Rabbeinu Tam tefillin for someone else? Because the halach is that a woman who is not chayiv in tefillin, a woman has no obligation to wear tefillin, she cannot write tefillin for a man. Because if you have no obligation for yourself, you cannot be the one that allows someone else to be mekayim the mitzvah. So now the question:
same way a woman can't make tzitzis.
Because the same way that she's not, it's not so poshut. It's not so simple that a woman cannot wear tzitzis. Some older woman really can wear tzitzis.
Can't make tzitzis.
Why not?
Because
she's not chayiv. She's not.
I don't know. That's what it says.
Okay, it's not right. L'chatchila not. But technically, I believe a woman can make the tzitzis. Because a woman, and I think indeed, me'ikar hadin can wear tzitzis. In fact, there was a famous woman who wore tzitzis. There were famous women who wore tzitzis. Okay, just like there were women who wore tefillin. Rashi's daughters wore tefillin. Micha Bashol wore tefillin. There were women who wore tzitzis. It's not so simple.
There are women who have beards. All right.
There were women who wore tzitzis, but tefillin. Look, women wore tefillin also. All right, but are they chayiv? You're right. So I don't know. You're right. I don't know anything about tzitzis. I don't know. But okay, this is a side question. So the halach over here is like all the other halachs. The answer is yes. A person who's a mitzayra or a menuda, even if we hold that they are not allowed to wear tefillin, they can still write tefillin for somebody else because really they're chayiv in tefillin. It's just that temporarily they are in a matzav where they're not allowed to wear tefillin. Now, what is the lumdus? Why is that? Should it be so that a person who's a mitzvah should not wear tefillin? This forces us to have a much greater understanding in what is the mitzvah of tefillin. The essence of a menuda is a person who is in quarantine, is a person who has been separated from the machne, has been pushed away from society. The essence of tefillin, at least the tefillin, this maybe you can have in tefillin shel yad, tefillin shel roish, is it is something which joins us all together. Now the proof to this is we only know this indirectly. By the tefillin shel yad, it says, V'hoya l'cha l'ois al yodicha. The tefillin shel yad is always considered personal. This shall be l'cha l'ois. The tefillin shel roish is not l'cha l'ois. The tefillin shel roish is l'acherim. It's for other people to see. Proof in point. When you put the parashiyos in your tefillin shel roish, so look, you're standing, you're looking forward. Where is the first parasha, Kaddish? Is that on the right side or on the left side? So you would expect it to be on the right side, because in Hebrew we go from right to left. And if you are facing Mizrach, so in your tefillin on your head, on the right side will be Kaddish. The next parasha on the second to right will be V'choyoki V'yachadin Shema V'choyim Shemaya. It's not the way it is. It's the reversed. It's the other way around. The first parasha of Kaddish is on the left. The second parasha is the second to left. Then comes Shema V'choyim Shemaya. Why? Because it's not for you. It's for someone else. When someone else looks at you, they see from their right is Kaddish v'hoyoki v'yachas shema v'hoyah im shamaya. The order of how the parashiyos are positioned in the tefillin is not for you. It's for someone else. Someone is supposed to look at you and they're supposed to read x-ray vision. It's as if they're reading from right to, from when they look at you from right to left, Kaddish v'choyoki v'yachas shema v'choyim shemoya. So in other words, although the tefillah shel yad is l'chol ha'ois, the tefillah shel roish is la'acherim. It is your connection to society. It's how you are seen by other people in society. So now it's amazing, it makes perfectly logical sense. A person who is a mitzoira, Badad Yeshev, Michutz Lamachane Moshavoy, social distancing, shelter in place, don't come in contact with other people, don't spread your germs to someone else. Chakira. The chakira in the din of social distancing. You have to ask the chakira to all doctors. Is it a din that you should not contaminate someone else? Or is it a din that you should not get contaminated by someone else? What's the ikar tafkid of social distancing? Why do you wear a mask? You wear a mask so you should not breathe in someone else's dirty air? Or is it you should not spew forth into the environment your filth? Is it a din in yourself, or is it a din in staying away from other people? Obviously, it's both. Right? It's both. Both in the world of bacteria. In the laws of Mitzoira and the laws of Nidui. The laws of Mitzoira and the laws of Nidui, hey, a person is a Mitzoira. This is Parsha. Badad Yeshev, Michutz Lamachane Meshavai. What's the purpose of telling the Mitzoira, go into quarantine? Is it because we don't want the Mitzoira to contaminate us? We're protecting ourselves? This man is a danger. He is a danger to society. He is a danger. So we have to put him away so he should not contaminate us. Or no, we don't view him as a danger to us. We'd be very happy. You can live with us. You could stay with us. We don't care. We're not afraid of you. The Torah is speaking to him. The Torah is telling the Mitzoira, you have to understand that you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to separate yourself from society. Society will be very happy to have you, but you have to be responsible and and prevent your disease from spreading to other people. Other people may feel that they're sheltered. They have immunity. But even though from their perspective they believe they have immunity, and maybe they do have immunity, but you have to take it upon yourself to be machmir and isolate yourself. Okay, that's not the point I want to make. Maybe it is the point we want to make, because what's very interesting is what would be a nafkamina. My words are not clear because I'm not clear. But the nafkamina will be tefillin. We have here a very big dilemma. Does the mitzoira and the menuda wear tefillin? The purpose of tefillin is not for you. It's clear as day. There is a tefillah shel yad and a tefillah shel rosh. The tefillah shel yad is v'hoya l'cha l'os. It's for me. None of your business. The tefillah shel rosh is l'acherim. It's my connection to you. You see me, how you see me. If I am in quarantine, no one is seeing me. There's no purpose in me wearing tefillin. When it says in Shulchan Aruch that a menuda, a person that's been banned and is obligated to go into quarantine because he did an avera, and a person who is a mitzoira, who has to go into quarantine because he is contaminated, he does not wear tefillin. Why doesn't he wear tefillin? Doesn't he have a mitzvah deraisa to wear tefillin? You only have a mitzvah deraisa to wear tefillin when you're part of society. Because the purpose of your tefillin shel roish is to be seen by other people with tefillin. But if no one is seeing you, then there's no need to wear tefillin. Okay, so there's no need to wear tefillin when you are in quarantine. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. No one is coming to see me. Now this. That is the lumbus. There's another lumbus. Okay, someone turned on. The shel yad is l'cha. So it does, that's the problem. It doesn't say this differentiation anywhere. This differentiation anywhere between the shel yad. I'm trying to make that differentiation. Or maybe you say that once you don't do the tefillin shel roish, it's a team. Once you don't wear the tefillin shel rosh, in the middle you don't wear the tefillin shel yad. But meikar hadin, there's a chilik between the shel yad and the shel rosh. The shel yad is personal, and the shel rosh is how you are seen in society. The proof again is look at the parashiyos. The parashiyos are not written from right to left, from your right to left. It's written from right to left from the person who looks at you. The purpose of the tefillin shel rosh is v'rohu kol amei ha'aretz ki shem Hashem nikra alecha v'yaru mimecha. But if no one is looking at you because the doctors have told you get inside, shelter in place, guess what? There's no purpose in you wearing tefillin because no one's looking at you. Don't have to wear a tefillin. You're in quarantine. A mitzara u'menuda is part of mitzvah. It's a fair shlach and shulchan aruch. When you understand the lowness of what tefillin is all about, then you understand, Pasha, why you talk, you don't need to wear tefillin. The whole essence of tefillin is to be seen by people. It explains why only a bar mitzvah boy first puts on tefillin. How come a bar mitzvah boy puts on tefillin? Why doesn't the boy who's 10 years old put on tefillin? Why doesn't he give a kill to a child? Okay, so we have the basic, simple answers. Because tefillin are sacred, and we don't trust a little kid to play around with tefillin. He's going to lose them. He's going to take it to the bathroom. We don't want to trust the little kid with tefillin. But there's a much deeper reason why we don't give a child tefillin. Until a boy is bar mitzvah, he's not meant to be seen as part of society. Until he's bar mitzvah, you lock him up in the closet. He's an embarrassment to society. He's a child. He's in training. He's in quarantine. He's in training. Okay, he's a rookie. He's a rookie. Spring training has been canceled. Florida. What's going to be with the MLB? There's no spring training. There's not going to be any World Series. He's a rookie. So you put the kid in quarantine. You don't wear a tefillin. Tefillin are only for people who are seen, who are meant to be seen in society. Okay? Mordechai yotza milifnei ha-melech bilvush malchus techeles v'chur v'ateres av gedoyla tefillin. Mordechai was now a public figure. The ganze Welt saw Mordechai. It's the way you are seen. The order says it all. How the parashas are put in the box, meant to be seen. A minude, you're not meant to be seen. Go into your cage. No one wants to look at you. You're not a good person. You're a mitzvah or this, that. Oh, I'm not going to be seen, so there's no need to wear tefillin. That's one element. There's another element of tefillin, shel roish. V'rohu kol amei ha'aretz kishem Hashem nikro olecha v'yaru mimeka. A person who is a mitzvah, he was mitzvah. Why is a person a mitzvah? Chazal say tzaras, spiritual disease, comes because of the chait of lashon hara, or a whole bunch of collections of gaiva, all the whole long list of averas. A person who's a mitzvah, or a person who has been put in cherim, you're an embarrassment to us. You've done an avera. One of the primary forms of a menuda is a person who swears falsely. It's a major, the major cause of being a menuda is to swear falsely, is to take the name of Hashem in vain. The name of Hashem. You took the name of Hashem in vain? It says in the pasuk, "V'rohu kol amei ha'aretz kishem Hashem nikra olecha." You appreciate what it means, kishem Hashem nikra olecha. When you take Hashem's name in vain, are you out of your mind? Get lost. Take off those tefillin. You're not an example for us. A mitzvah who speaks lashon hara and brings hatred between one man and another, and he caused the name of Hashem to depart from Klal Yisrael. Between Ish v'Isha Shalom b'neihem, Shechina b'neihem, and he spoke Lashon Hara and caused the Shalom, the Shem Hashem to depart. You're not entitled to wear tefillin, which carries the Shem Hashem v'ro ki Hashem Hashem nikrecha v'yadu mimeka. Ridiculous. You don't wear tefillin. It's an incredible yisoid. Okay, when you appreciate the whole purpose of tefillin, remember, the ikar proof is the seder ha-parashiyos in the tefillin. The seder ha-parashiyos go right to left, not your right to left from the observer. Now, what's very interesting, though, is there's the tefillin of the Ravid and the tefillin of the Shimushei Rabbah. You know what the difference in the Ravid and the Shimushei Rabbah is? You put the tefillin on your right, from your perspective. If you would say such an extreme chiddush, you want to say an extreme chiddush, is that if a person who's a mitzvah and he's a nidui, he should not wear the tefillin of Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, he should only wear the tefillin of the Ravid and of Shimushei Rabbah. Because the Ravid is the opposite of Rabbeinu, the Ravid is the opposite of Rashi. The only difference between the tefillin of the Ravid and the tefillin that we wear Rashi is that our tefillin are from right to left from the observer's point of view, whereas for the Ravid, it's from right to left from the your view. And the tefillin of the Shimushei Rabbah is the opposite of point of view of Rabbeinu Tam. So it's very funny. If you would say that if a person is in quarantine, he's in Nodui or he's a Mitzvah, he should only wear the tefillin of the Ravid. And if you wear a Beinu Tam tefillin, so you should wear the Ravid and Shimushei Rabbah. When you go into public, then you wear the tefillin of Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Now, this is an interesting thing. Now, and I'm saying now, going off the topic now, a little mussar for ourselves is that we are all now in quarantine. Okay, minyanim have come to an end temporarily. We're all, you know, to a degree, we're all a menuda. No, you're not going to say that. Am I saying crazy things? We have to shelter in place because of the sakana. We're a menuda. A menuda. Are we even chayv in tefillin? Maker hadin. If a mitzora and a menuda is part of mitzvillin, of course we're chayv in tefillin. You can't go so far to say such crazy things. But what's the lumdis of a mitzvah and a menudah? Tefillin are meant, this is how you're seen in society. You can't be seen anymore in society. So a mitzvah is part of mitzvillin. But if you take off the tefillin, what are you taking away? You're not just taking away from the person You're taking away the Shem Hashem. You're taking away his ability to express, to represent Klal Yisrael, V'rohu kol amei ha'aretz, ki Shem Hashem nikra olecha v'yadu mimeka. It's a very sad thing. Being in quarantine, I'll be derech drush, when we shelter in place, al pi halacha, you're chayiv 1,000,000,000% in tefillin, don't get me wrong. But al derech drush, when we shelter in place because of the matzav that we're in the world of drush, we're potter mitzvillin. If we're potter mitzvillin, what are we really lacking? We're lacking the ability to be Hashem's ambassadors to this world. V'rohu kol amei ha'aretz kishem Hashem nikro olecha v'yaru mimeka. We're lacking that. Not in halacha. Again, they have to be very careful here. But in drush. What's the benefit? What is the positive side? It's going to come to an end. Okay, a lot of the Rabbanim are gearing up. I already see it. Well, I already hear the Rabbanim. They're getting very excited. The end is in sight. Okay, everyone is talking endgame. There are going to be a lot of memorial services. There's going to be a lot of avelos, a lot of public avelos when this is all over, no doubt about it. There's going to be a lot of things going on to commemorate, to give covered acharon to people who passed away, no doubt about it. But with that is going to be also a certain reemergence, a renewal into society. It's almost like when we are going to be renewed, it's going to be our bar mitzvah. When we come back to shul, when all of this is over, we're going to all be like bar mitzvah boys. We're going to be putting on tefillin for the first time. And all of the drashas that the Rabbanim make about tefillin will be very appropriate. What are tefillin all about? V'rohu kol amei ha'aretz kishem Hashem nikra olecha v'yaru mimeka. It will be a time to reaffirm, to commit, to renew our vows with Hashem, to reunite and acknowledge our mission in this world of bringing forth, being a loyal ambassador of the Ribbono Shel Olam to bring forth the Shem Hashem. We're going to be all bar mitzvah boys very soon. I'm looking forward to wishing you all Mazel Tov. In the meantime, have a wonderful day. Enjoy. And we'll pick up tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, on Rosh Chodesh. Tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, but we'll try to start the regular time, Bli Neder, 9:30. I'll try my best.
Put it on the internet that you said we don't have to wear tefillin anymore.
No! Chas v'sholayim! Chas, I told you, chas v'sholayim.
We're going to get a sound bite.
Chas v'sholayim, don't do that.
I have it on tape, I'm sorry. Too late.
Chas v'sholayim.
Okay, have a good day, everybody.
All right, wait, let's say Mizmor. Let's say Mark you there? Mark is correct. Mark said we should say every day a Mizmor of Tehillim. Shram Aloy says, Sonai El, Hodin, May Anyavo, Ezri, Ezri, Mayim, Adunayo say, Shemai Meretz, Ali Tain Lamod, Raglech, Ali Num Shamach, Hine, Lo, Yonum, Velo, Yishon, Shamer, Yisrael, Adunay Shamach, and Night Silchal Yad, Benecha Yom, Mashemish, Lo, Yakekavrech, Baloilo, Adunay Shmach, Mikol Ra, Yishmor, Esna Shecha, Adunay Yishmor, Tseischa, Uvayecha, Meata, the Adelam, Achenical Base Yisrael, Hanasun, Batserva Shivya, Haim din bein bayom bein bayabosha, hamokom yirachim aleihem biyotzei mitzor levocha, meafeo lo'ero mishibu legula, hashto bagolo v'zman kariv v'noimar, amen.
Amen.
Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Sai. Be well.
What about a talus?
No, talus has nothing to do with anything. Only tefillin. Only tefillin. What?
Yeah, Mark.
Okay.